In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at Lesson 79, The Souls in Purgatory. The image is a beautiful image of the Church triumphant in heaven, adoring God, the Church militant on earth, attending Mass, and the souls in purgatory beneath in the flames of purgatory. We have angels, looks like dumping water to cool the flames of and assist those in purgatory. The caption reads, "We should be generous in helping the poor souls in purgatory who long for God. The best thing we can do for them is to have Masses offered for them. The Church puts no limit to the time during which we may pray or offer Masses for the suffering souls in purgatory. If we cannot have a Mass said, we should at least hear Masses for our dear departed. If God so willed, a single Mass could release all the souls in purgatory. We should offer Masses especially on All Souls Day and on the anniversaries of death of our relatives and friends." Okay. First question, what pains do the souls in purgatory suffer? The souls in purgatory suffer from a great longing to be united to God and from other great pains. Their chief pain is the deprivation of the beatific vision, the vision of God and the glory of heaven. This temporary deprivation is a most severe punishment because the poor souls already have a full knowledge of what they are missing. Quote, "As the heart panteth after the fountains of water, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. My soul hath thirsted after the strong, living God. When shall I come and appear before the face of God?" From Psalms 41, 2 and 3. The general tradition of the Church is that they also suffer acutely in other ways. St. Augustine believes that the sufferings of the poor souls are greater than the sufferings of all the martyrs. St. Thomas believes the least pain there is greater there. St. Thomas believes the least pain there is greater than the greatest on earth. The greatness and the duration of a soul's sufferings in purgatory vary according to the gravity of the sins committed. One who has lived a long life of sin but is saved from hell only by a deathbed repentance will stay in the purging fires of purgatory longer and suffer there more intensely than a child who has committed only the venial sins of an ordinary child. That some souls stay long in purgatory is implied by the fact that the Church puts no limit to the offering of Masses for the dead. Some foundations have been going on for centuries, offered for the repose of certain souls. St. Augustine believes that those stay longest in purgatory who have loved the goods of the earth more. Some saints have held that certain holy souls in purgatory suffer no pain except their exclusion from the vision of God. Practically all are agreed that in purgatory the souls suffer most in those things in which they sinned most. As the Imitation of Christ says, "In what things a man hath most sinned, in those things shall he be most grievously tormented." The poor souls, however, have much to console them. They are certain of salvation and the love of God. They are free from temptation. They cannot commit the slightest sin, even of impatience. They have no worry, anxiety, or distress of mind, for they are sure of deliverance. They are comforted by the prayers of the angels and saints and of the people on earth. Will all the souls in purgatory go to heaven? All the souls in purgatory will go to heaven someday, They will stay in purgatory only as long as they have not atoned for all their sins. The poor souls cannot help themselves, for their time for meriting was ended at their death. They cannot therefore merit anything to satisfy for their sins. This is why we, who can still merit by our good works, should give some of them as suffrage for the poor souls, so that they may soon be delivered from their prison. We have the special obligation of helping with our prayers and sacrifices the souls of our dead relatives, friends, and benefactors. Although they cannot merit anything for themselves, the poor souls intercede for us with their prayers to God. Thus, if we help them, they repay us by their intercession. No one who has a devotion to the holy souls in purgatory has ever asked for their intercession in vain. In what ways can we help the poor souls in purgatory? We can help the poor souls in purgatory by masses, by prayers, and by other good works. Masses, the holy sacrifice, is the greatest help we can offer, because its effect depends on itself and not on the piety of the priest who offers it. Whenever possible, Gregorian masses should be offered. These consist of 30 masses celebrated on consecutive days for some deceased person. If we cannot have a mass said, we should at least hear mass for our dear departed. A mass has infinite merit, for it is the sacrifice of our Lord Himself. It will surely avail our dead to offer for them to offer for them God and Son Himself in holy mass. Prayers. We should pray with devotion for the poor souls. God does not regard the length of the prayers or the words so much as the love in the heart of the one who prays. There are special prayers enriched with indulgences applicable to the souls in purgatory. We should also receive the sacraments of confession and Holy Communion for the poor souls. Know ye that the Lord will hear your prayers if you continue in perseverance. From Judith, chapter 4, verse 11. Almsgiving. No pompous funeral or profusion of flowers is of any avail for the poor souls in purgatory. As St. John Chrysostom says, not by weeping, but by prayer and almsgiving are the dead relieved. It is better to give to charity the money spent on idle and worldly show, which cannot help the poor souls. Instead of sending costly wreaths to the family of a dead friend, it is an excellent custom instead to have masses offered for his soul. The heroic act. By this act, a person surrenders in behalf of the souls in purgatory all the satisfaction made to God by his good works, including whatever satisfaction may be offered for him by others during his life and after. The heroic act is enriched with precious favors. One who makes the act can apply every indulgence gained to the poor souls in purgatory. He may gain a plenary indulgence applicable only to the poor souls. Each time he receives Holy Communion, every Monday by hearing Mass in behalf of the poor souls. To gain these indulgences, he must pray in church for the Pope's intentions. It is an error to suppose that one who gives up his merits or offers prayers and good works for the poor souls thereby loses something for himself. Prayer confers a blessing not only on those prayed for, but also on him who prays. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We should not, however, rely too much on the prayers and sacrifices that our relatives may offer for us after our death. Even granting that they will remember us often and fervently in prayers, it is nevertheless true that works offered in suffrage for souls avail them only to a limited extent. God gives more value to a little voluntary penance done here on earth than to disciplines offered for that soul after death. As a saint aptly said, one Mass devoutly heard during life is worth more than a great sum left for the celebration of 100 Masses after death. That ends the reading. Do we have any questions or comments? Okay, we do have a question on the heroic act. How can you do it if you do not have access to a true church? Okay, I don't think there was anything there included. About going to church, you can be far away from the Mass and the sacraments and still offer up all your merits. All your satisfaction for the prayers that you offer. You can still have Masses offered even if you are not able to attend the Mass. You can still send them and have them offered at a distance wherever the priest may be. Gaining the plenary indulgence in the heroic act might be a little more difficult each time he receives Holy Communion. You can offer that up for the poor souls. And then every Monday by hearing Mass, of course, if you're not near the church, you won't be able to do that. But as I mentioned quite frequently, God does accept the desire for the deed. And I think we should remind ourselves of that frequently, both on the positive side and the negative side. And I think too often we tend to forget that. And I use really the negative side that our Lord gives us in the Gospels, that the man who harbors hatred in his heart for his neighbor is already guilty of murder. Basically, the woman or the man who lusts after a woman is already guilty of adultery. And I say, God has accepted those desires for the actual deed, and he will punish them for those desires as if they had actually committed the deed. And likewise, the church teaches that if we have a good intention, God will accept that good intention for the deed itself. The example I think it was Brother Dominic would give was, you know, if you get up Sunday morning and you harness the horses and you get the wagon ready to go to Mass, but then the wheel breaks or something happens to your car on the way to church on Sunday and you can't make it to Mass, God has accepted all the efforts that you went through as if you had actually attended Mass. And so you can still gain the merit even though you weren't physically able to accomplish it. So God accepts the desire for the deed, and I think really our prayers for the poor souls are never going to be wasted. It can't be applied to the particular soul that we pray for, either because they're released or because they're in hell. Then those prayers will go to some other soul. And we should not be stingy, I think, especially when it comes to the poor souls in purgatory. They have a lot to suffer and they cannot help themselves, and really no act of mercy that we show them will be forgotten. And if we can get them out of purgatory and into heaven before we die, we will have one of the greatest advocates seeking for our release from purgatory, or even while we are here on earth, to gain special graces and merits for us so that perhaps we may even be able to avoid purgatory altogether. So I like the idea that, you know, it doesn't matter how pompous the funeral or the number of flowers or anything we give to the departed or to their corpses, that is really nothing compared to the prayers and the masses that we can offer for the dead. They can't smell the flowers, and I've heard people comment that, you know, we should send flowers while they are alive and they can smell the flowers and see them, rather than after they're dead when they can't see them or smell them. Really, I think the best that we can do for our dearly departed is to pray for them, to offer sacrifice for them, or, as even mentioned here, almsgiving. Any questions? Comments? All right. Pretty straightforward, I think, for most Catholics. It's the non-Catholics will have the questions. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos et maniat semper. Amen.
Thank you, Your Excellency.
You're welcome.